Well, hello, Fairhaven Church. Great. If you are brand new, you probably have no idea what just happened there. My name is David. I am one of the pastors here on staff, and I just had knee replacement a little over 4 weeks ago, so I feel good that I'm up and I'm walking. And thank you for your prayers and your cards. Kathy and my wife and I love you as a church family. We're so grateful for what God does and is doing here. And we missed you, and so it's good to be back. I want to just start out by saying thank you to my surgeon who attends church here. He did an excellent job and pushed me through all the pain, and he kept telling me how pain was my friend, and I didn't believe him. And I want to thank my pain specialist, who's also a physician here, who has worked with me actually really for the last 2 years and kind of just encouraged me to, you got to go get this done, and so he helped in that. I want to thank the PT, all the physical therapists who are part of a home health care, who is also part of this church family, and my wife, who was my nurse, who was my pharmacist, my cook, my massage therapist. She was awesome during these last, and I just really owe a debt of gratitude, and I feel like I'm in the Oscars or something, like, you know. And I just want to say thank you to all of you as well here at Fairhaven Church for praying for us. How many of you have ever had a knee surgery or hip surgery or shoulder surgery? Can you just raise your hand in all of our locations? These are my people right here. And so you know what the deal is, and it's great to have you here. I want to welcome Springboro, our campus to the south, and Northmont to the north. Northmont, you know we're so excited as you've gone to two services, and God is doing great things there as you are inviting coworkers and friends and neighbors. And so if you're brand new at Northmont, we're really, really excited that you're there. We couldn't be more grateful for what God is doing for us as a church. We're thankful for Classics. Classics, thanks for being with us, and all those that are online. We have a college student, my son Brent. Glad to have you online with us as well, and so we're glad to have you here. We're going to continue on in this series called Highlighted, and I want to share with you a verse that God has highlighted in my life and my wife's life, Kathy, 25 years ago. It's a verse that really has become a friend for us because it signifies a moment in our life where God really spoke and spoke directly and clearly in our lives. It's a passage of scripture that chances are you have not spent any time in. It's very obscure in some sense, and yet it's a great, great passage that we're going to take a look at today. But let me start out with a question. Wouldn't it be great if you could predict the future? Wouldn't it be great if you could predict, like, when you're going to get a raise? Or when you're going to get that promotion? Wouldn't it be great if you could predict for your son or daughter who they're going to marry? And if you're a parent, we could even take it a step further and say, we just want to pick them for them. Am I right, parents? Right? Wouldn't it be great if you could, you know, predict that your husband would make that change, or your wife would stop doing that, or you could predict all these things in your life? I mean, wouldn't it be fun if we could predict our future? And the reality is, when you think of our lives, the truth is there are predictable outcomes in life. There is a lot that we can actually predict. Like, for example, I could predict with a pretty good degree of accuracy that if you have knee surgery, you're going to experience pain beyond what you want in your life. Am I right? Those of you that have knee surgery, right? I mean, with a great degree of accuracy, I can tell you that if you have knee surgery, there's going to be pain in your life. I can also say that if you spend more than you take in your life, with a great degree of accuracy, I can tell you that you're going to be in debt or you're financially not making it. I can tell you with a great degree of accuracy that I can predict that if you're lost, if you go on vacation or if you're on a business trip and you're looking for that business or you're trying to get somewhere and you get lost, and you don't turn around, I can predict with a great degree of accuracy that you're going to be loster. I just made that word up, by the way. You're going to be more lost, right? I can predict with a great degree of accuracy that if you have golf lessons, if you want to be a better golfer and you take lessons in golf, I can predict with great accuracy it will mean nothing. And so in life, there's a lot of predictable outcomes that we can predict in our lives. But today, what I want to talk with you about is there's one thing that I can predict with 100% accuracy. Get your pens out. You're going to want to write this down. And this is the verse that God gave us that talks about this, and I'm going to share part of our story, and I want you to connect with your story and wherever you're at so that you can learn and you can review and you can remember this very, very simple yet profound statement that I can predict with 100% accuracy. You ready for this, church? Here it comes. God has a plan for you. With 100% accuracy, I can tell you, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you've come from, it doesn't matter what part of town you're from, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, it doesn't matter what your past has been, it doesn't matter what last night was like, God has a plan for you, and what we're doing is trying to tap in and understand and discover God's plan. He's got a plan for you. Springboro, Northmont, Centerville Classics. Isn't that great news, church? Isn't that great news to know that he's got a plan? And some of us find ourselves at a crucial moment in our lives where we're in transition, where we might be, you know, moving from one place to another in our lives, or maybe there's been a downsizing that happened in life, or perhaps you're in between relationships, or whatever it might be for you. As you find yourself wherever you're at right now, I want to review with you that God has a plan. I want to remind you that God has a plan. I want to relive with you today that God has a plan for you. And I don't know about you, but that's just really encouraging for me to remind myself that God has a plan, that my future, I can predict with 100% accuracy that God has a plan. The key is that you and I discover what that plan is. Am I right? That's the key. And how do we discover that? And I want to show you this verse in just a second, and then I want to look at the context of it because there's four things that we'll learn today on how to discover God's plan. But I think it's important, first of all, that we start out by talking about God's plan because many of us are even confused about God's plan. So I want to illustrate in two ways because some people think of God's plan one way, and the scriptures actually tell us that God's plan is a different way. See, many of us, when we think of God's plan, we think of it like a lazy river. Ever been on a lazy river where you go to some park or you go to some place and they give you a tube that's not unlike this one here, and then you put it on or you get inside of it and you sit in it, and all of a sudden you get on this little river, and if you're along with a few people, then you can put your legs up and so you can travel together, or you can be with a bunch of people you don't even know, and you just kind of float around in this lazy river, and the river is moving, and there is kind of a point to where it's going, but you don't even know where it's going, and so you're in this lazy river, and it's kind of like God's plan where you don't have any part of it. It's just, it is what it is, and you're just floating along, and sometimes you hit the side, and sometimes you hit other people, and sometimes you bump into things, but there's just, you have no control at all, and you're just on along for the ride. Nowhere in Scripture can you find that. If you and I are going to discover God's plan, we need to understand that God wants us to participate. He wants us to discover. It's not like a lazy river. As a matter of fact, it's better than that. Let me illustrate this way. It's not like a lazy river. It actually is more like a hike on a long path where you and I take a walk and we find ourselves at crossroads of that in the path, and we look to either way, and we have to look to God to give us wisdom and direction as to which way we go. Or sometimes in this path, it's a little bit darker than other times. Sometimes it opens up, and it's warm, and it's fun, and sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes it feels like you're traveling with a bunch of people, and it's a lot more like a hike, a lot more like a walk through the woods than it is a lazy river. 25 years ago, my wife and I were living in Colorado, and I was pastoring in Colorado, and we kind of knew our time was almost up there in Colorado. We just kind of knew that in our hearts. And this guy came to me, who was a friend of mine, and said, you know, they're looking for a senior pastor in Malaysia. And I think many of you know, we grew up in Malaysia, or Indonesia rather, and my wife in Cambodia. So we grew up in Asia. We love Asian culture. We love Asian food. And so this guy said, hey, I want you to consider this. The position may come up in about a year. So I went home that night, and I told Kathy. I said, hey, Kath, we may have an opportunity to go to Malaysia in about a year. She went to praying. And she started praying on a regular basis, truth is, it's kind of, I got excited about it, but then I just kind of went back and doing my own thing because I was busy at the church I was involved in Colorado and, you know, busy with life. We had two little boys at the time, and, you know, life just got busy. Well, fast forward almost a year. In fact, I think it was about a year, and that same guy came to me and said, they're ready now to hire the next guy who will be the senior pastor there at the church in Malaysia, and I'd like to offer you the opportunity to go. So I thought, okay. Let me pray about this. I went back to my office, and I actually was praying about it in my office, and I felt this overwhelming sense of peace and this overwhelming sense that that was the next step in this long hike that I'm in with God. So I went home that evening, and I said, Kath, you're not going to believe what happened. She says, I already know. Now, the guy who's my friend works in the same office as her mother. And so I thought, like, he told her mother, and her mother called her, and I thought, you know, it kind of spoiled my little surprise there. And I says, oh, you do, huh? You know what it is? Go ahead and tell me. And she says, we're moving to Malaysia. And I go, how did you know that? And she says, because God highlighted a passage in my life, in her devotional life, actually months earlier. You want to see it? Let me put it on the screen for you, because I want you to see it. It's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Here's what it says. Before they, and we're included in that they, before they call, God says, I will answer. Before you ask God anything, he already has the answer. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. God hears everything we say. We'll talk about prayer in just a little bit. I mean, this verse jumped out of the page at Kathy, and she knew that as she'd been praying for almost a year about this opportunity, and if this is what, you know, God wanted for us, God revealed to her heart, and as I came home that day, I thought it was her mom that spilled the beans. It wasn't at all. It was God who spilled the beans because God knew in advance he had a plan for our lives, and we moved with our two little boys from Colorado all the way to Malaysia, and we were there for 4 years. Before we got a phone call to come to Dayton, Ohio. And we had another similar experience that God knew, and he knew, and he knew, before they call, I will answer. Here's what I want you to do. I want to look at the context of this, because this verse was highlighted in our lives to remind us that God has a plan, and he was working that plan out in our lives. And this plan is more like a long hike, you know, through the woods than it is a river, you know, river raft. And so would you take your Bibles or your devices and turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah's in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 65, it's the second to last chapter in the book of Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah is kind of broken up into three sections, if you want to write this down. The third section starts in chapter 55 and goes all the way to chapter 66, so 10 chapters, the last 10 chapters. And in those last 10 chapters, it's really Isaiah who's a prophet, and he's talking to the people of God, like he's talking to us, to you, to all of us that are listening here today. He's talking to the people of God saying, there's been lots of mistakes in the past, but God has a plan for you, and he's talking to them because the Babylonians had come in and destroyed Jerusalem, had grabbed the people. In fact, you know one of the guys that they grabbed, Daniel. Ever hear of Daniel before? They grabbed Daniel and brought him to Babylon, and after a certain period of time, God brings them back to Jerusalem. And so this is after the exile. They're coming back to Jerusalem, and God wants them to know that he's got a plan for them. And in this plan, Isaiah helps us in chapter 66 to understand four important things of how we can discover God's plan. So if you're here and you're in a transition, you're going to want to jot these four words down and phrases that come along with them, because it'll help us to discover and identify God's plan in our life. Here's the first one. If you're jotting it down, the first word is confession. Confession will help you and I to discover God's plan, because confession is the admission that we're on the wrong path. Confession for us, as we come into worship or as we go through our week, to realize that there are things in our lives that are not pleasing to God, and as we have confession in our lives, It's the admission that we're on this long walk and we've somehow gotten on the wrong path. And we need to turn that around. I'm going to talk about direction in just a little bit, but confession is so important for us. And we see this. Pick it up in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 13 says this. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And so God is speaking, and he says this to the people of God. He says, my servants, or the people who follow me, my servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail and the brokenness of spirit. Isaiah is describing here what happens in a person's life when confession happens, when we acknowledge that we're not where we need to be, when we acknowledge that we're not doing what God wants us to do, and confession brings us back into a place where we can experience food that he has for us, and we can be our thirst can be quenched in our lives, and our hearts will sing. Verse 15, when you leave your name for my chosen ones to use in their curses, the sovereign Lord will put you to death. Now, it's not a physical that God's going to put you to death. What he's saying in here is that when you drift from God, and there are things in your life that are not pleasing to God, it's like a death goes on in your life. I mean, emotionally and physically and spiritually, confession is really important. Because confession is the admission that God has something better for us. As I've been going through this, the physical therapy for this knee, it's amazing how, you know, the harder you work the pain, the better your knee is. And so I've been working really, really hard. And what I didn't realize, and maybe some of you don't realize, that if you're ever to have a knee replacement, they tell you that it's more important for you to get your leg to be straight than it is for you to bend your knee. And I'm working on getting it bent, and I can bend it further and further each day because I work at it. But they tell me that if you don't get your leg to be straight, what ends up happening is that forever, because of scar tissue, your knee will be bent like this, and you will have a limp the rest of your life. And so I've been working on this knee and putting it up like this, and I got to put it up on a chair like this, and my wife will take her hands, and right on the kneecap, right where the surgery was, she'll push it as hard as she can down. And it is no fun. And then I go to see the physical therapist, and they do the same thing. They put my leg up on a chair, and they push down. They are evil. But what we're trying to do is to get to zero. We want this leg to be straight, because if it's straight, then I won't have a limp. And as I've been thinking about this, of course, I've had some weeks to think about this. Spiritually speaking, in your life and in my life, if there are areas of our life where we're not walking in God's plan and confession needs to happen, if confession doesn't happen, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a spiritual limp. Because what happens to many of us is we say to ourselves, well, I'm not killing anybody. You know, I'm not committing adultery. I mean, I'm not cheating on my taxes. This over here, what I'm involved in, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's just, it's my thing. I struggle with that. And so, you know, it's battle back and forth. And one of the ways that you and I discover God's plan is through confession. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe confession for you will get you right back on the proper path. Because confession is the admission that we're on the wrong path. Second word I want you to get today as we think about discovering God's plan, the second word is not only confession, but the second word is waiting. So you got confession and you got waiting. Waiting for God's plan to unfold is so tiring. Can I get an amen, church? And if you're waiting for God to give you an answer, and you're waiting for God to do something in your son or daughter's life, or you're waiting, you know, to get married, or you're waiting in your life for a certain job, or you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And for some reason, it seems like patience for all of us is really difficult. It doesn't matter what your personality is. I mean, some are more patient than others, but at the end of the day, I don't think any of us really love to wait. And waiting is so difficult. And waiting on God is so difficult. And yet waiting is part of the plan for us. The problem is that when we think of waiting, we think of waiting as doing nothing, that we're actually standing still and we're doing nothing. That's not what waiting is. Let me define waiting for us, because I think it'll help us, especially if you're waiting on God to reply, or waiting for God to show you, or you're on this journey, this long hike, and you're waiting for God to reveal what the next step is, or for Him to reveal something in somebody else's life. Waiting is actively looking. Looking to see what God is doing. Waiting is actively praying and continuing to pray. Waiting is actively listening to God, because God wants to speak to us. He hears our prayers. We saw that in verse 24. He hears our prayers. And He has an answer before you even ask Him. It's actively listening. But it's also intentionally taking the next step. See, as you're waiting for God, it is intentionally taking the next step, because God, as you actively listen, as you actively look, and you actively are praying, God can reveal what the next step is. He may not reveal the whole path, but He can reveal what the next step is, and is taking that next step. It is actively and intentionally taking the next step. That's what waiting is. Some of you know we've told you stories about our little dog. We have this little dog like this. Her name is Boba, and she's been itching. And I don't know if it's allergies or whatever it is, and she's been itching and itching and itching. And a friend of mine actually told me it might be a hot spot. And I didn't really know what a hot spot was, and he described it, that sometimes dogs get these patches on their skin where it becomes very hot for them and they itch it and so forth. Well, we thought we should take this dog to the vet, so we made an appointment, and yesterday we went to the vet, and we got there really early. I think we were the first or second appointment, and we got in there, and we brought little Boba into this waiting room for the veterinarian to come in, and we sat in the waiting room. 10 minutes goes by. 20 minutes go by. 30 minutes go by. We sat in that waiting room for 45 minutes. And I don't know about your dog, or if you have a dog, or if you're even a dog person, this poor little dog was so stressed out. I mean, it was shaking. We were trying to hold it. It was shaking. I mean, you could see fur like shooting out of its body, you know? I mean, just shaking like crazy. And while I'm sitting there and we're just talking, I pick up this pamphlet that's sitting on the table in there. It's absolutely amazing. You read it and it says, "We want your dog's experience to be stress-free." Okay. And then it goes on and says, "We are pumping pheromones into the room that will help your dog to experience less stress." I'm thinking, where is that happening? I mean, there's no pheromones here, it seems like. And then they say, "And we're also pumping sound into the room that is appropriate for animals that they really like." And I'm thinking, what's the sound going on? I couldn't hear anything. It was like white noise coming in here. And then they said, "And we have lots of healthy treats for your dog." Now, we're 40 minutes in waiting for this doctor to come in, so I'm rifling through all the drawers in this little room trying to find the treats and all that. And this poor little dog is getting stressed and stressed. And I'm thinking, what they probably should be right at the bottom is, "We'll try to get in there before 45 minutes. And this poor little dog was just so stressed out. Now, I wonder if some of us right here today, in any one of our campuses, you're so stressed because you're waiting on God. Waiting. Here's what it says, verse 17, Isaiah chapter 65 is actually called a double prophecy, if you want to write that in your Bibles. And by double prophecy, it means that there's a prophecy of today and there's a prophecy for the future. It's a double prophecy. Verse 17, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth." As the people are coming back into Jerusalem, God is saying to them, "Don't worry, I've got this all worked out. I've got a plan for you." But it also means that in our eternity, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Any of this sound familiar? right? Revelation chapter 21. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. It is a double prophecy. A prophecy of God saying, I've got a plan for you. If you discover what that plan is, it's a plan that will bring joy into your life. Even though on the outside there might be pain and suffering, you can experience joy on the inside. And he's talking about not only your life now, but he's talking about our life forever. There's going to be a day where there is no pain and no suffering and no tears. Anybody looking forward for that day? It's a double prophecy. See, waiting for God's plan to unfold is tiresome. But don't give up. Because in this long hike through the woods, God has a plan for you. And maybe today what you need is strength. And maybe today what you need is the realization that God, in fact, does have a plan. And that God cares about your circumstance more than even you do. That's amazing. So the first word is confession. The second word is waiting. Here's a third word if you're jotting it down. Direction. Direction. Do you realize that destiny determines direction? Destiny is determined by direction. Let me illustrate this way. If you're on this long hike, and your life is pointed in this direction on this path, you can't get there from here if you want to be over here. The direction of your life, the way your life is pointed, the things that you're involved in, the direction of your life is going to determine the destiny or the destination of where you're going. Here's what I find in a lot of people, and I see it even in myself on occasion, where I want to go this way, but my life is pointed this way. And if your life is pointed this way, you can't get there from here. And so here is what we learn in Isaiah, that every once in a while, we need to take a change in direction, because as we take a change in direction, that's how we discover God's plan. Is your life pointed in the wrong direction? Because he says to us here in verse 21, look at this, Isaiah 65, verse 21, they will build houses and dwell in them, they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the day of a tree, so will the days of my people, my chosen ones, will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Isaiah is prophesying, and he's saying, here's what you need to do. You need a course correction, a direction correction. You need to go back to Jerusalem and build your houses, because that's what God's plan is for you. Plant your vineyards and trust him. Live out your lives in that direction. Direction is so important. And it might be that some of us here today, in any one of our campuses, or even those of you that are online, you might be thinking to yourself, you know, it's interesting. I want to go this direction, but it's very evident that my life is pointed this direction. Is your life pointed in the right way? Because direction is really, really important in the process of discovering God's plan. Here's the last one, if you want to write it down: confession, waiting, direction, and the fourth word is prayer. That probably doesn't surprise you, because that's exactly what happened to Kathy and me. Years and years ago, 25 years ago, that Kathy was praying, and I began praying, and separately we came together, and God gave us this highlighted verse in our lives, prayer. Verse 24, look at it again. Before they call, I will answer. I challenge you to put your own name right there. Before blank, put your name in there. Before blank calls, I will answer. While blank is still speaking, I will hear. And describes how it's in prayer that we see miracles that take place. The wolf and the lamb, they'll feed together. The lion will eat straw with the ox and the dust and the serpent's food, and no one will be harmed. And of course, there's lots of eschatological kinds of prophecy here. But we see here the prayer changes the actions of God. The problem is, church, let's be honest, many of us don't believe that. Because we've been told that God doesn't change. And so if God doesn't change, how is it that prayer changes the actions of God? Some of us have been taught that prayer is really a ritual or a tradition where you pray before a meal, or you pray, you know, when you gather before church, or you pray in a small group. And really, prayer is designed, many of us have been taught that prayer is really for the purpose of changing us. Anybody ever hear that before? Now, there's some truth to that. But prayer is far more than that. But many of us have been taught that prayer is simply to change us, that prayer is about getting you to figure out what God's plan and purpose is, because it doesn't change God at all. Therefore, if you draw out the logical conclusion there, prayer has absolutely no influence on God. It's only about you changing you. And no wonder many of us don't pray enough. Do you realize that that cannot be supported in any way in the Bible? When you begin to study the Bible, you begin to realize that prayer changes the actions of God. Now, this is really important, so make sure you catch this in all of our campuses, all right? Because you've been taught rightly that God doesn't change. Are you with me, church? Let me tell you what he doesn't change. God doesn't change his being. God doesn't change his perfection. God doesn't change his purposes. But his actions change through prayer. I can give you all kinds of examples, and I've listed them for you in the notes if you want to download them for yourselves off the internet. Lots of scriptures, it's not even complete, but many that are there. In Exodus, you can see that Moses prays that God wouldn't destroy the people of God, and he doesn't. You could read in Amos chapter 7 that Amos prays that God would take away the locusts because God was going to destroy the crops because there are people that were disobedient, and Amos prays, and God doesn't send the locusts. His actions changed. You can look in 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah prays that the Assyrians wouldn't conquer them. And in fact, God stops the Assyrians from doing that. You can go to 2 Chronicles where it says the prayer and confession of a person brings healing and it brings grace in their life. You can go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 4. The elders pray and the presence of God is revealed and change happens. Church, do you know why we have elders that are willing to pray with you and with us at the end of every service on every single campus? That if you need somebody to pray with you, you just kind of migrate forward at the end of a service, and we have elders all over the place ready to pray for you. And here's the reason why, because we believe that prayer changes the actions of God so that God can be revealed and you can experience healing and decisions. Does this make any sense, church? Isn't that awesome? You can go to Acts chapter 10, and you can see that Cornelius' prayer moved God. Acts chapter 12, it took a prayer that miraculously got Peter out of jail. You could read in James chapter 5, it says that God answers the prayer of the suffering and of the sick. You can read in James chapter 4, you don't have, God says, because you don't ask. Prayer is powerful. I want to challenge us as a church that we pray in a whole new way, that we pray that God's hand would come upon you and your family and your friends, that things would change because of prayer, confession, waiting, direction, and prayer. That's how we discover the plan and will of God. That God has a plan for you. It's in this long hike through the woods that we discover God's plan. Anybody want to discover his plan? I want to just invite you to bow your heads with me for just a minute in all of our campuses. And if you're online, I'm going to ask you just to right now bow your head. because this is your moment with God. This is the opportunity for you to admit maybe that you're on the wrong path, confession, saying, God, I'm sorry. I don't want that in my life. I want to discover your plan. You might be here and you're waiting and you're tired. You're tired. And say, God, give me strength. I'll wait. But you'll do so actively. I'll wait. Or you might be here today and somebody has twisted your arm to come to church or to watch online, and you know your life is pointed in the complete opposite direction of discovering God's plan, and you want to make a direction change. Prayer. Father, I pray that you would hear us now. And I pray that Isaiah 65:24 would be true today. That before we ask, you will answer. And while we're speaking, you would hear. Hear the prayer of your people. Father, it doesn't matter if we're single, married, teenager, college student, senior adult. It doesn't matter where we're at in our lives. We thank you that you have a plan for us. We thank you that we can discover that plan. Help us to do that today. I pray, Lord, especially for those that find themselves in transition and life is scary, stressful, uncertain, that you would shine your light on the very next step, that we might trust you. We thank you that you have the answer before we even ask. I pray, Lord, that you'd hear all of our prayer today and that miracles would take place because you are God. And we thank you. We thank you for this chance to be here today. We thank you for this opportunity to look in your word. We ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Great to see you.